Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Season 3, Episode 2 of Mind Clickers, where it's time to click both heads in 2021. Today, I am joined by the founder and CEO of the GGWP Academy, Jax Garrett. How are you going today?
Thanks for having me, Lachlan. Appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to sit down on a Monday evening. I'm sure you've had a pretty busy day, but I really appreciate jumping on.
No worries. It has been a busy day, but looking forward to wrapping it up with this.
Let's get it done. Well, I guess first and foremost, what we'll do on MindClickers as per usual is just provide a little bit of background about yourself. That could be, you know, how you got into creating the GGWP Academy, you know, previous jobs, you know, the passion for content creation.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I mean, me personally, I've got a background in anything from by the time I was 35, I'd worked in about 18 different industries.
Wow.
So if that gives you an idea of the kind of person I am and the kind of background I come from,
yep.
You know, I've always liked kind of ticking things off my box. Like, I can do something to a certain extent and then I like to move on to the next thing before I get too bored kind of thing. And I started to realize that the more interesting or the more exciting the job was, the longer I would stay with it. So for me, startup land is like, you know, Mecca. It's amazing. You know, I can do a bit of everything, and it means that I can sort of use all of my experience to kind of drive lots of different aspects of a business forward. So, you know, I've worked in communications roles, marketing roles, just plain leadership management roles in retail, in project management, but also training roles. I was the training facilitator at Jetstar Engineering. So I looked after the training side of things for about 40 engineering apprentices. And that was really cool work to understand what it means to build a training matrix, how it should look, what the outcomes should be, and everything else. So, you know, I've had a very varied background, but I suppose, I mean, GGWP Academy didn't come into the forefront for me until my son started competing in Pokemon, and I started to realize that the industry he was entering was not necessarily an industry I wanted my son to enter. And I wanted to improve it for, you know, the next generation and make sure that there was better education, more professionalism, and a more structured and routine pathway to success.
Yeah, for sure. Fantastic. And what were your initial thoughts when, I guess, he was so keen and eager to start participating and competing in Pokemon, but you were like, hang on, let's take a step back here.
Look, I had no problem with Pokemon, you know.
Yep.
Zero problem with Pokemon. I think that they have a very good, you know, PR is in hand. Pokemon does a very good job of everything that they do. But when it came to engaging with, you know, the esports scene and trying to get my son sponsored and dealing with people from teams, from brands, from the community in general, from, you know, all the different facets of this industry that we have, I started to realize that there were good actors and bad actors, like there is in any industry. Yeah. But in this particular one, there was no one really regulating it, no one really trying to do anything about it. Everyone just seemed to be kind of building their own thing and maybe not contributing to the wider vision.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's a really interesting point that you bring up in regards to regulation, because I've actually had quite a few guests on from coaches and different professional players from North America. And regulation's been one of those consistent ones that's come across in regards to content creation. And I guess when we look at this industry, how do we regulate it in regards to what should be posted, what shouldn't be, and how we control that? Or is it just going to be one of those kind of things where anything goes?
Look, I mean, what we're trying to do at GGWP is to give them a best practice, something that they can learn from so that they know what professional looks like, what, you know, what they should be doing in an ideal world to get ahead and to make the most out of their career. So everything there comes down to building a personal brand around a person, making sure that they're hitting those best practice points. And, I mean, I think that's also the case of any front-facing career. Mm-hmm. If you look at everybody on LinkedIn who's ever done well at, you know, creating a personal brand, whether they be in gaming or not, they've they've had to sort of create this almost like a PR bubble around themselves at all times. Mm. And that's something that content creators really need to learn. Even esports athletes need to learn this aspect of their front-facing projection into their audience. They need to learn that, everything can and will be taken the right way or the wrong way, depending on the circumstances. And unfortunately, when you have so many impressionable young minds, you know, in esports, you might be looking at young people, you know, as young as my son when he first started, that you are influencing. Yes, I said the word influencing. But I just think it's really important that everyone in this industry can do better in terms of, you know, how they build their personal brand and what that looks like.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess when you look at building your personal brand and, you know, building up to a level of marketability, for example, when you start with nothing, it's very tricky to jump over that initial barrier of trying to build your profile and push out content, especially when you're not getting much in return, right? So say, for example, you put a couple of hours into a YouTube video and, you know, you really put a lot of effort into it, but you get barely any views. How do we overcome that initial hurdle that it's going to be okay and we just acknowledge that that early process is going to be a bit slow, but, you know, growth is inevitable?
Yeah, I would say that you need to make the most of it in terms of finding ways to network, to collaborate, to know and familiarize yourself with what the algorithms look like and best practice in terms of uploading and, you know, creating content. If you're doing it the right way, you've got a great personal brand. If you've got your network in place, if you're able to collaborate, if all of these things kind of tie into the one timing, you can start to see how that, you know, likelihood of success goes up.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
And so I think that, and you see this a lot with esports athletes as well. Some you'll see who are absolutely fantastic at, you know, communicating on Twitter and telling their audience what they've recently done, whereas some you haven't seen them post in 3 months. And it's always going to be those ones that have the bigger following or the bigger, you know, engagement that teams are going to be looking forward to. You know, they want that bigger presence. They're almost paying for it.
Yeah.
So, I think that it's going to be an interesting way forward when teams are scouting based on, the size of your Instagram as opposed to your ability.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely think that, you know, you look towards some of the big teams, and even here in Australia, you know, we have some, you know, some pretty sizable teams, and a lot of these organizations look towards people who are going to be engaging because, you know, on one half you have, I guess, you know, you have your esports and, you know, every day is not a tournament, right? We're not competing every day. So what are we doing for the rest of the time? That could be making content on Twitch. That could be being making YouTube videos, Twitch streams. It's about filling the gaps and, you know, what's that going to look like in terms of sustainability for some of these organizations.
That's where FaZe and, you know, 100 Thieves and all of those guys do exceptionally well. They're always the case study, you know. But, yeah. I mean, I definitely see the Chiefs doing it locally as well, you know, starting to up the ante, so to speak. It's really cool to watch. But, yes, it's definitely past the point of recognizing that that needs to be, maybe the second priority in an esports team is to have that presence. The first one would obviously be, you know, winning games or matches or maps.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I've had the pleasure of, you know, I previously downloaded GGWP and I filled out and I went through some of the modules and, you know, it was a really good experience just really taking a look from a different perspective because obviously, you know, I have a little bit of experience in the scene, but it's always good to look at it at a different way. Now, we might have some of the youth players or even parents tuning in that aren't too familiar with the platform. So I guess how would you describe it? And I guess how would you describe it for, you know, some of these youth players to start thinking about, okay, these are the steps that I can use to learn content?
Yeah, for sure. So the way that I would just very simply put it is that GGWP Academy aims to be a central hub for gamers. Right. We want everyone on our platform to know that, you know, the content that we're giving them is arming them for a career in gaming. Mm-hmm. It's basically education. So we're providing video education or e-learning, and we're also providing opportunity as well. So once we've helped educate our creators, we then provide them with opportunities to connect with brands, mm-hmm. and that can be for paid and unpaid gigs. Yep. So at the moment, we've got gigs on there from Logitech, from PDP, from EA Games, Pushes, the sneaker marketplace, all kinds of different gigs on there that gamers can come and connect with. So we want, when we talk to brands, we talk to them about smarter influence. And what that means is that our creators, the creators on our platform, have taken on a certain amount of our education, and that builds into their XP or their influencer rank. Mm-hmm. And that is what allows them to actually go on and apply for those gigs. Mm. So you need a certain amount of XP, which basically also says I've done X amount of education, mm-hmm. In order to apply and work in those roles. Yeah. So we're basically saying to Logitech that the creators we give you in this top 10 to do this job are more educated than most others, so that they can get a better ROI on their campaign and therefore hopefully spend more money back into the industry. And the same goes for non-endemics, because really what we want to do is create an economy whereby more gamers are being paid to do this for a living, whether it be in content creation or esports. So we teach things like personal branding, how to build and grow an audience, healthy gaming. We teach, you know, even things down to like how to entertain, which is something that, you know, might seem a little bit out of left field, but it teaches them to, you know, how they go live the first time with a bit of confidence. But I mean, these things are all really relevant to esports players as well, because you're going to find that media training is something that nearly all esports athletes need to actually do. You know, at some point they're going to be asked a question by the media or on Twitter, and they're not going to know how to handle that question with a great deal of sophistication, mm-hmm. because they're thinking from a very internal perspective. So I would say that, you know, each esports athlete is eventually going to hit a point in their career whereby they will need to do this training. It's just a matter of how and when.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. And I completely agree.
At least here they can get on it early.
Yeah. And just as you thought about that, you know, I definitely know a few people that could to learn to how to entertain a little bit better.
But also how to, you know, how to kind of curb their opinions maybe a little bit. I mean, it's okay to definitely have opinions and whatnot, but, you know, you quite often see people who are stripped of titles, stripped of money, stripped of all kinds of fun things out there because they've said the wrong thing. Yep. You know, it's happened time and time again. So I guess that is another aspect of what we're trying to curb as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think just, you know, taking different levels of, you know, how to brand yourself, how to market yourself, and how to do, you know, so many different angles is just helping to build that professionalism. And that's why I think I love the model, because it takes someone who's, I guess, eager about the experience as it is, because, you know, they've downloaded the application, so they've already shown some sort of initial interest. Then it's always just about, you know, building on that kind of knowledge instead of, you know, going to YouTube and trying to find out, you know, different ways of how to do this. They've got a kind of centralized platform which allows them to go through everything and kind of, you know, educate themselves. So I think it's fantastic.
Absolutely. We're having a lot of fun with it at the moment. We're getting a lot of feedback from our users, which is great. We've got 50 new videos that have just been filmed in Chicago that we're about to drop on the platform. So that's kind of exciting for the coming month. And I mean, we've already dropped our marketplace, but over the next 6 to 12 months, what we'll be doing is we will be taking on lots of feedback from our users and going through to automate as much as we can of this process and build out that marketplace to be more robust. So we're working with people in our Discord community. We've got some really great ambassadors who have been along for the ride. And, you know, it's just really exciting times to be building something that doesn't really exist in our ecosystem. And to, you know, let gamers know that we're kind of here to support them. They really like that aspect. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, for sure. Now, is GGWP OCE based, or is it more so global?
Look, we're already at 40% US-based users. Oh, wow. So we were global from the moment we launched kind of thing.
Oh, fantastic. Exciting.
And I think that that's possibly due to a few different things. One, our platform is completely automated, so it makes it really easy and accessible for everyone. Mm-hmm. Number two, when I started this, the GGWP, if I go into the background again,
yeah.
I was accepted to the Lead Sports Accelerator in Berlin. Yeah. And so I got to spend 4 months over in Berlin with a bunch of different other startup founders. And I also got the opportunity to go to places like ESL headquarters and Cologne and visit all of these places and meet some amazing people, from Bitcraft, from ESL, from, all of these major businesses in esports in particular. And I think that that network gave me the ability to sort of reach out to other networks and kind of helped us, at least start to speak to potential partners in the space, being overseas and things like that. And once we brought on board our two co-founders, so Cassie and John are my two co-founders. Mm-hmm. Cassie is our CMO or marketing and operations, and John is our CTO, who is a senior software engineer, sorry.
Yep.
I'm not a technical founder, clearly. But once we onboarded these guys and started actually working on our marketing and messaging, Cassie managed to get some really great cut through, and everything just seemed to be getting picked up really quickly from the States and from Europe and from where else, Canada, UK, Philippines, India, and then Australia and New Zealand. So those would be our top countries at the moment, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome. Fantastic. I love that kind of multi kind of international approach. And I think for growth and, for growth, that's the way to do it in regards to trying to get as much expansion as possible.
Yeah. And I mean, that's also why we've tried to make every time that we do some kind of filming or some kind of, content for the app, we try to make sure that we're engaging someone from another country always. We're trying to make it very much a global voice. We want people from everywhere to be a part of this. So, we're really keen to explore new markets as we expand.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess, esports, not even esports, but content creation, YouTube, Twitch, everything has just really fast-tracked within the last couple of years. And, if you would have said that we would have been where we are now 2 years ago, it would have been crazy. So I guess what does that look like in the next 5 years? Is everything just is, content creation, Twitch, is this going to just be the normative?
Yeah. And I think, look, you're going to see more crossovers as well with content creation and music. You're going to see it more with sports and content creation. I think that we've already seen a fair bit of esports with traditional sports over the past 12 to 18 months because COVID has kind of, dictated that it had to be that way. But I think that they're starting to see that there was benefits to doing this and, keeping that up might be worthwhile. So it's definitely going to be interesting. But for me, I'm more interested in seeing what the crossovers look like between music, maybe pop culture, entertainment kind of things with streaming. So I think that there's going to be some really cool things happening in the coming months. And we've just done one thing. I can't say what it is, but see me in 10 days-ish. But just really cool stuff like that.
Yeah. And I guess there's a lot of similarities because there's a lot of games, for example, Fortnite, even how they have in-game festivals and that kind of match over. So I think that's really interesting as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome to see. Now, I guess, you mentioned it briefly a little bit just earlier in regards to women in gaming. So you're also, I believe, partner with them or the founder of them as well. Is that correct?
I'm an ambassador for Women in Games, yes, globally. I think that there's a good couple of hundred of us now around the world, which is exciting. And it's definitely something that's very close to my heart. I mean, our company is even let me think about this for a second, maybe 60% female run.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's obviously something that's very important to me as well. You know, I mean, even as a founder who is going out and doing seed raises with investors, you can automatically see that there is a potential difference between the way that men are treated in gaming as opposed to females in gaming. So I think that it's at all levels, whether it be content creation, esports, game development, even as a software engineer and things like that. You see all of these, you know, I guess inequalities. But yeah, I think that everything that we do, we want to have a positive impact on diversity and inclusion, whatever that looks like. And if you ever get the chance to look at some of our photos of our team, you'll understand why I say this. Because everybody in our team is literally from a different background. So we have a very diverse background in the just in the founding team itself. So it's something that we're very passionate about pushing forward and projecting into the industry as far as we can.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. I love the inclusion, really helping to provide an insight and to help address, I guess, content creation, but also, you know, the whole idea of being in a group that's from different backgrounds, you know, because we all provide different insights, we all have different knowledges and different skill sets, and I think that really helps to make really such a powerful team and movement.
Absolutely. I mean, we definitely walk the walk if that you know, makes sense. But I think it's also like there are game titles out there that have something like 50% or more female usership. And we're still debating whether, you know, women should be in games. Like, if they can't see that sort of a number being, you know, relevant, then I'm not sure how to help.
yeah, for sure. And it kind of reflects back because early on, Michael, because I had the CEO of Fury. So Fury Oceon, and he was chatting to me about, I guess, his Brazilian team, his Rainbow Six Brazilian team, and they're all females. So I guess it's about, you know, really starting to have a look at a different sort of ways. And, you know, they're super competitive as well. And I think they're one of the best in Brazil. So I guess really starting to see this increase in females within gaming and, you know, especially within esports and competing at that top level.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's even going to be like a matter of whether I personally think, and this is why I've always competed in sports and things like that, I've always wanted to compete as a woman but against men. It never bothered me that I should never have a separate league or a separate whatever, but some women want that as well for the culture and the, you know, the way that they can build out their voice through that. So I totally recognize that as well. I just think that it's going to come down to what is most popular to the next generation. I mean, I'm getting past the point of this being about me. You know what I mean? I've got a child who plays, you know, we're well past talking about me. But I just think that it's going to be really cool no matter what they do. I can't wait to see where it heads in the next 5 years and where the women who are currently, I guess, at the forefront of that can take it.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. It's definitely going to be really interesting to see that progressive development because I guess when it comes to mind, you know, a lot more females tend to go towards that content creation side of stuff, YouTube, Twitch.
Yep.
But I'd love to see more esports teams of, you know, women and, you know, that'd be fantastic to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you look at the Women in Games group in particular, they've got quite a lot of esports organizers and shoutcasters and interviewers, and they've got people from all over the matrix. So it's definitely something that they're pushing forward, and I'm proud to be a part of that.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Love that. Love that passion that really comes through and shines through.
Not short of passion around here.
Now, I guess it was actually kind of a viewer question that that they asked, wanted me to talk about. And I guess this idea that it's in our DNA to be liked. This idea of, I guess, when you, I guess, go towards content creation or when you go towards, you know, doing whatever, we have to have that kind of underlying mindset that we have to be liked and we have to get some sort of reward from our actions. Now, I guess, you know, the big thing is if we're not liked, how do we push past it, especially if it's within our passion, especially if we're creating videos, we're streaming, we're, you know, engaging within an area or a sector that we're interested in and that we want to be involved in. How do we push past that? And how do we build the perseverance and put the iron walls up and say, it doesn't matter what they say, I'm just going to keep going?
Look, I think that there's definitely some room for people who aren't liked. You know, there are people out there who are definitely, they push on the buttons enough that, sure, they might have their core following, but if you take them into mainstream and give everyone an opinion on them, they're not going to be heavily liked. If you, you know, potentially Dr. Disrespect, you know. I'm serious, though. You know, he's definitely got his core, you know, people who would follow him anywhere he goes.
Yeah.
But if you look at the opinions of, you know, anybody else mainstream, they sort of look at it and think, you know, they don't get it, or they don't, you know, want to know about it. So I think that there is definitely room to go both ways in terms of liked or not liked. I think that it just comes down to having a very carefully I think that you just have to be careful about how you build your personal brand around that and know which way you're going.
Mm.
So if you don't want to be liked, you've got to, you know, come up with a persona or something that people cannot like. Or, you know, if you're building something that you want people to like, then you need to figure out, you know, who am I actually wanting to like? You know, it can't be everyone. So what's my target demographic here?
Yeah.
And figuring out how to get through to them in particular in terms of, you know, what other likes do they have? What might transpire into my content that can allow them to like me, kind of thing. So I just think it's being really clear about what you want to achieve with your content as well. You know, some people are more political about what they say and do. Some people are, you know, potentially just really good at gameplay, but not so much at entertaining. So they might need to create their content in a different way as well. Yeah. Whereas you've got, you know, your variety streamers who are just there for the entertainment. They will stream literally everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, throw them a game code and they're on it. So I just think that there are so many different kinds of creators out there, and I mean it's really about how you how you create your persona or your personal brand and make sure it's in line with what your goals are.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely really starting to, I guess, when you enter the scene, really have that kind of underlying kind of mindset. Okay, this is the way I want to go. And maybe if you try that way and it doesn't work, you can try another way as well. And eventually slowly chip away and really find that groove.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the more unique and the more authentic and the more, you know, creative you can be about how can I best show who I am, the more cut through you're going to have with an audience too. So if you can get really creative about showing off your personal personality to other people, I think that you will get more cut through. More people will want to spend time consuming that content.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. Now, another question I had from one of the professional players that I previously had on MindClick is, and I said that you were coming on, and he had this question actually, so that was awesome. Is this fact that I guess their content is primarily based within one area? So they're really, you know, for the last couple of years, they've been primarily making content around one area, but they feel as if they switch their content to another area or a different game, you know, they lose a lot of their analytics, traction, viewership, and that just kind of feels like, well, they're kind of stuck in that one grit. Now, I guess, how do we overcome that? Is it a matter of just accepting, you know, within myself, I'm going to try something new. If my audiences don't like that, well, you know, that's okay. Or is it maybe even creating a second channel even? You know, what's the best way to go about that?
Look, I'd probably need further information to answer that properly. But, you know, on the surface, I would imagine that you want to create a narrative that, you know, I mean, if you're about to potentially build a team in a new title or something like that, you definitely need to have a way of moving forward. You need a plan to get there. So to start to include that kind of content and build that kind of content, I would suggest that you could potentially do it either as part of a different channel or part of, you know, a particular segment within your channel. And just I think that in this day and age you need to be fairly, you need to come forward with your audience and let them know what you're doing. You need to, you know, just have that conversation, whether it be on social media or Discord or whatever, and let them know where you're headed and why you're doing X, Y, and Z. I don't think there's any need for any cloak and dagger in this age, you know, for what you're doing. I think that if you can be open and honest with your audience, and they might see the excitement, and then it might even give them reason to invite a friend to come and check something out, you know, because you're broadening your horizon. And if you're letting them know when and where it's going to be, if they're not a fan of that, they can, you know, figure out ways to not consume it.
Yeah.
Dare I say?
Yeah, for sure. Fantastic. It's always different, you know, tricky avenue to, especially when I guess you've invested such a long time, you know, 5+ years and then, but I guess it's always about having that open mindset to change, and, you know, sometimes change is inevitable, right?
Yeah, but get your audience behind you. Let them know what you're trying to do. You know, make them the champion of your change.
For sure. Definitely love that. I'll put that in quote.
Wonderful.
Now, you know, before we start to turn off the steam and come towards the end of the episode, towards the end, we do this thing on My Clickers where we kind of put the guest in the spot. So I apologize for doing this. but essentially what it is I guess, you know, obviously, as I mentioned before, we might have some I guess, some of those younger guys listening. And we kind of have this little bit as a takeaway. So I guess, you know, what advice would you give to, I guess, a player or, you know, even a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 13, you know, whatever in between that kind of Gen Z age gap, who are really interested in creation, really interested in content creation or esports or whatever it may be and just want to get into it?
Yeah. I would number one say do it, because I mean it's one avenue of getting signed to an esports team. Being able to get noticed is probably half the battle. You know, you can have skill as much as you want, as much as you practice for and everything else, but I think that a lot of esports athletes have trouble getting noticed. And so content creation can definitely be a part of that. But also know that you're preparing yourself for that kind of a career. If you're going down the esports route now and you're not comfortable with content creation, I just think that it's something that's, you know, almost intrinsically a part of it now. I'm not sure that there's any turning back from that. I think that you would almost have to be an exceptional player moving forward. You would have to be exceptional to be picked up if you have no content creation ability or wants or anything else. The two are very much, you know, intertwined now. So I would say that they need to practice early. They need to start that following. They need to act like a content creator while they're practicing. And even make that a part of their content creation, because no one, I mean, everyone loves a bit of a journey. Everyone loves to see the improvements and the, you know, the ladder they're climbing.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're wanting to beat so-and-so on a certain level or whatever, make it your content creation dream or your, you know, something that your audience can sort of follow on with.
Yeah, fantastic. I think that really summarizes it nicely. Just, you know, really understand that sometimes, you know, having that content creation mindset is inevitable, you know, whether we go into esports or whether we're just purely a content creation-based individual, being able to be open to it and try it. And if it doesn't work, well, at least we tried it.
Absolutely. And I think that's also one of those skills that you can take into any career. You know, if you can learn to build your personal brand and project that forward, you know, online, I think that that is a digital confidence that everybody should have going forward.
For sure. Fantastic. 100% agree. Now, for everyone listening, where can we find you on all your socials and keep up to date with everything you're posting?
We are at GGWP Academy, all one word, on every social you can imagine almost. definitely active on our Twitter mostly. That's where we tend to interact with everyone. We're building a Discord whereby we're helping creators. We're doing things like review my channel and, you know, cool one-on-one stuff as well. So, but we're trying to build out with partners. So if there happens to be a brand or a team or somebody who wants to work with us, we're really open to having discussions, so hit us up.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Jax, for coming on today. It's, I think it's been fantastic, really just highlighting your background with the scene and then really just having a nice open-ended, I guess, you know, chat in regards to content creation, esports, and really building up that mindset from the ground up.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Lachlan. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.